so we're going to just come on with it. Very simple subject tonight. We're approaching still a lot of runway that we are approaching our study on the attributes of God. And I'm still studying the subject, getting ready for that. We'll start that, Lord willing, next Wednesday. We went over the glory and the glory of God, glory in the God in the Scriptures, glory of God in creation, you know, the glory of God in the church, glory of God, and again, who and what God is as we approach Him. Now, who and what God is found in the person of Jesus Christ. And when the child of God looks in the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. And so as we approach the subject of the attributes of God, we get closer to it. I'm prayerfully and working on it to take the attributes of God, but not only give you the attributes of God, but also as they apply to Christ, as they apply to Jesus Christ. So we'll look forward to that. As we think about knowing God, we're knowing God through the Scriptures. We studied that. And can I just remind you that as Christians, if we're to know God, we've got to read the Bible. We're going to read the Bible. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Just a real simple message. I think 3 or 4 times a year it's important the pastor get up and just remind you how important it is for you to read your Bible. It's the basics. I mean, it really is. Just the basic idea. This was kind of spurred on by a conversation with me and my oldest boy, Caleb. And, you know, we had devotions at home as he's growing up, as our kids are growing up, all those things. And we encouraged them to read their Bible. I know my dad did as well when I was growing up. We encouraged us to read our Bibles, even to the point when we were real small, of making that part of our chores and that we had to read our Bible. And we did that some with our children. But as they got older, we kind of left it to themselves to do. And as I was talking to him about it, and he was saying, hey, I'm my first year in Bible college, he said the number one thing he's enjoyed the most, you wouldn't guess it, is his devotional time. Learning to have a devotional time. And that impressed me. I'm like, okay. And it also discouraged me a little bit, as maybe I didn't push it enough, you know, with my kids, especially as they got older, the importance of having your you, not daddy, but you having a personal devotional, a personal walk with God. It's basics of Christianity. And I'll never forget, one time I was in Bible college, and some of y'all know Brother Rigsby, who is one of the associate pastors at Worth Baptist Church. And our professor, Brother Wiggins, was taught by him. I highly respect him. He's been here. He's preached here before on the family. And I remember going to him my first year at Bible college and asking him the question, how long was it before you had a consistent daily devotional with the Lord? How long did it take you to have a consistent walk? And he said about 10 years before in his Christian life that he could say that he read his Bible and prayed every day and so forth. There's a study done, and there's a book on it by R.A. Torrey that he did in the various biographies of the great preachers of the past. And I've given you this number before, but overall, it's been said by many of the other preachers of the past that 15 years was the number. You say, preacher, you're discouraged. No, I'm trying to encourage you to say, listen, when you first get saved, when you first begin your life with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin your daily walk with the Lord, it can become very discouraging because you begin to miss, and you miss this, and you miss that, and you miss a day or two, you miss 5 or 6 days, and then all of a sudden you find yourself you've missed a month. You say, well, I'm not a very good Christian. That's between you and the Lord, but that does not mean that you're not a very good Christian simply because you didn't read your Bible. It just means you've got to keep trying. It's my whole point. If it took Brother Rigsby, and I consider Brother Rigsby just a great Christian man, if it took him 10 years to have a consistent walk, if it took many of these great preachers of the 1800s and early 1900s 15 years before they had a very consistent walk with God, then what makes us any better? And so I would say in my own life, I don't know when that exact number was, but I would say, and I told Caleb this year has been one of the best times in my life in devotions. And I've said that a few times to you guys, but this year has. It's amazing. Sometimes it just seems like the Word comes alive to you. You read it and you read it and just all of a sudden it opens up. And there's times it feels like it's a chest locked and you can't seem to get anything out of it. And it's amazing when you do step over that you know, whatever line that is, and you began to feel, and there's nothing wrong with emotions when it comes to the Word of God, but also to understand, mentally assent to the truths in the Word of God, and for it just to come open to you. I think more so this year, what I have applied, and I've already told you this, that I'm doing in my personal Bible reading. In fact, I wrote it. I have my Bible reading schedule here. I have a very aggressive goal that I will not reach, and that was to read my Bible through in 90 days. But I'm going to read it through. I'm going to read it through in a half a year, and so I'm halfway through this year, and I'm not bragging. Just saying that's where I'm at in my devotional life this year, and this is the best I've ever done. I'm not saying it'll ever happen again. I'm my goal is to do that, and one of the things I did a little different this year is on the back of my Bible reading schedule. Maybe we need to put this on our reading schedule for all our members. As I put Psalm 119:18, "Open thou my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I put down Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." I put down Psalm 119:105, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." I'm sorry, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I think maybe this year more than I've done in the past is simply when I'm approaching the Word of God is to pray for God's leadership and help. Pray for the Holy Spirit to open your eyes to understand what you're reading. I said, "Preacher, you know, I read the Bible, I just don't get anything." Can I tell you, there's times I read it, and again, it's like a locked chest. It doesn't seem to be speaking to me. But you keep reading it. I know I'll get this illustration wrong, and I've tried to give this illustration in the past. But no matter whether you understand what you're reading or not in the Word of God, it's still working on you. It's like water. It washes you whether you know it or not. The Bible makes that declaration many times. So understand that you may be reading and you may be a little frustrated in your Bible reading time. You may be a little frustrated in your devotional time, but it's still working whether you completely understand what you're reading or not. I know I've repeated myself 3 times on purpose. It's absolutely, absolutely works. Our daily walk is so important. It's paramount to anything else as far as your spiritual walk is concerned. It's right there at the top, 2 or 3. Prayer, daily Bible reading, giving, going to church and soul winning. You know the 5 basics. But prayer and Bible reading. I am encouraged when people, when our church members email me questions, that encourages me. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but it encourages me. It means I know some of you are reading your Bibles. It encourages me when I have members that I have known for, you know, 18 years walk up and talk about their family devotional time. That encourages me. That encourages me. It's important, so vitally important, not only to yourself but to your family. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. You know the verse, most of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. But we do have some new Christians in here tonight. "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And I said this Sunday, you know, we're all headed down the road. It's appointed that the man wants to die. The outward man is perishing. As I said, I'm getting a little balder. Age is coming on. I'm going to get me a... No, no, I'm just kidding. Age is coming on. But the inward man is renewed day by day. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. I pray tonight would not be a message of getting on to anyone, but Lord, just an encouragement to remind us the importance of reading your word in order that we might know you more. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. It is really a back-to-the-basics philosophy as we think about how important it is for a preacher or a teacher or someone to encourage you or encourage me to read our Bibles. The Bible is the building block of our faith. As we think about it, it is the rule and practice of our faith. It's our guide in our faith. And so it's so vitally important. Where does it guide us? It guides us to the Lord Jesus. It guides us to a better understanding of who He is and what He's done for us. And it's so, so very important. As we approach the Word of God, it's important that we have the right attitude. It's very important. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on what? Y'all know the verse. The heart. Can I tell you that God is more concerned about your attitude, and God is more concerned about the inward. And I'm going to say this, and I'll back myself up a little bit. More concerned about the inside than He is the outside. In other words, what I'm saying, I'm not talking about the way you look. And that's a whole different message. Because He is concerned about how you look. I'll just go ahead and say that. But He's more concerned with your motives and your attitude, why you do what you do and so forth, than He is to what you do. For instance, a person could have given $5,000 in the plate tonight. And depending on their motive, it's depending on whether God blesses them or not. Right? Motives matter to God. Motives matter. It matters why you sing up here. It matters why you sing. Not how you sing, but why you sing. We appreciate how you sing. But God concerns why you're singing. And so motives matter. Attitude matters. And as we approach the Word of God, our attitude matters to God. It matters to God whether we come to Him, you know, expecting. And I love this, expecting. This is something God's worked on my heart. And y'all know I've prayed a little differently in the last several years. Every once in a while, I'll pray, Lord, I appreciate what You're going to do. Because sometimes I think we can get in a rut and we don't expect God to do anything. And we get in that same rut when we approach the Word of God. We just don't expect Him to give us anything. Because He hasn't, maybe in a while. Listen, you've got to come to God expecting God to work in your life and work on your heart. It's important that you do so. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. We need to have a desire to know God and expect God to reveal Himself to us. Absolutely. Not only should we have an attitude of expectancy, we should have an attitude of reverence. Reverence. And there's many scriptures that refer to this. Habakkuk 2:20. The Bible says, but the Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before Him. And I do think this is one area in which a lot of Christians and so-called Christians have become very lax in, and that is to come to God with a reverent spirit, a reverent attitude. He's not the man upstairs, you know, right? You know, He's not cool Jesus. A lot of this modern Christianity is a bunch of hogwash. He's God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, He's approachable. In fact, He says, come boldly before the throne of grace. He's not unapproachable, but yet we should come to Him in reverence. He is holy. We should come in reverence before Him. I think there is a time in which we come to Him, and especially as maybe we go through a dry spell spiritually and come to Him reverently saying, Lord, I don't know why I'm going through a dry spell here, but Lord, You help me. Come humbly before Him. Humbly before Him. Reverence and an attitude of reverence. And also we understand that we ought to come to Him alert. And this is, practically speaking, we ought to come to Him alert. If you're reading your Bible and you're falling asleep, that's not helping you much. Hello? The lights just clicked on. If you're reading your Bible and you're not alert, then it's not helping you much. I remember the story of John R. Rice, who was a great evangelist. Early 1900s, started the Soul of the Lord newspaper. And, you know, he used to get up at 4 o'clock to read his Bible every morning. And many pastors witnessed this, that he would get up and he would begin his Bible reading time or his devotional time with prayer. And the way he prayed was he walked and prayed. He didn't kneel and pray. He walked and prayed. And his own testimony was, he said, I walk and pray because I don't want to fall asleep. Right? And so there may be a time in which you get up and maybe you have to walk around a little bit. I do this in my office every once in a while. And get up, walk around, especially if we get a little... Anyway. Need some carrot juice. We need that alertness. But we also need to be alert as concerning our own lives. Bible says, awaken to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Just speaking about, again, alert to righteousness. How is my own life? You know, God may not be speaking to me, or God may not open the Scriptures to me because there's something obviously unholy about me, something sin in my life, keeping God from communicating with me and fellowshipping with me. properly. So keep that in mind. But practically speaking, does not mean you don't have to pray in a kneeling position. Your heart ought to be in a kneeling position, but your physical body doesn't have to be in a kneeling position. You don't have to close your eyes when you pray. Right? Especially if you're praying, driving down the road with a hamburger in this hand and a drink in this hand. It's important that you pray with your eyes open and the milkshake between your legs. Being alert. And then, and this is the toughest one, having an attitude of obedience. In other words, application. Someone has said this, they said, reading without obedience is almost meaningless. If you're not willing to read and obey, then why read? Because what happens when you read and don't obey, you simply gain knowledge without any application. And you become what the Bible says, puffed up. Met a lot of people this way. A lot of people. Who think they know more, who may know more of the Word of God than myself or you, and yet you look at their lives and there's no application. Oh, they want to teach a Sunday school class, but they don't want to show up for soul winning. There's no application. They want to do this and they want to do that, but there's no application. It's important that what you read, you apply. Again, our education of the Bible has far exceeded our application. And that's where Christianity is today, as a whole. And it's important as you read the Bible that you have an open heart and allow God to speak to you. John chapter 7, John chapter 14, we won't go read these. But just having an attitude of obedience, willing to obey what you read. I think it's funny to me, sometimes I'll be reading the Bible and it will have nothing to say in particular about something going on in my life, but out of the blue it comes to my mind. You know, it's like I'm reading the Bible and maybe that particular scripture doesn't apply to something going on in my life, but God brings it to mind as I'm reading my Bible. It's almost like you've heard this, you know, you hear a sermon and it has nothing to do necessarily with what you're going through, but that's how you applied it. That's how God spoke to your heart. And it may be just way out of left field. Am I making sense? You know, just, I've done it many times. Gone to a preacher's meeting. They're not preaching on anything I'm going through, but yet I feel conviction and I felt blessed by the Word of God. And so it happens. People get saved that way. They'll come into a service and say, you know, I don't even know what the preacher is preaching, but I just know I needed to get saved. You know, is that amazing? So that can happen. We need to open our hearts. You need to open your hearts in obedience to the Word of God. And again, it may not specifically apply. That particular scripture may not specifically be dealing with you, but God can always deal with you if you'll read the Bible. An attitude. Attitudes are very, very important. It's also important to have a schedule. I think this is important. It's important to have a schedule, a time in which you have set aside to read your Bible. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Y'all have heard these scriptures before, most of you have. Mark chapter 4 verse 35 says, and in the morning, talking about Jesus rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And we see this in the life of Abraham, you see it in the life of David, you see it in the life of many of the Old Testament saints, that they got up early in the morning to have their prayer time. And we see this also reflected in the New Testament by Jesus Christ Himself. Early in the morning. And I would encourage you, maybe you work all night and you can't do that, but I'd encourage you before you go to work, read your Bible. Take a few minutes. I'd encourage you, instead of listening to WBAP on the way to work, use that as your prayer time. You say, preacher, I can use the ride to work as my prayer time? Yeah, why not? Make good use of it. I did that many, many times back before I moved 2 minutes from the church. For 8 years, you know, I drove, as some of you do, you know, it was 35 minutes one way to the church, 45 minutes one way to the church. Did that for 8 years. And nearly every day, sometimes twice a day. And I used a lot in the morning, come going the way to work, I use it as my prayer time. Make good use of your time. Follow Christ's example. Start with a brief time and grow into it. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." I'd encourage you, some of the new Christians here tonight, and maybe some of you who have gotten out of the habit, use it that word, of reading your Bible and having a devotional time, start small. You know, don't walk in trying to keep up with your pastor. By the way, I'm doing some of that on church time, per se. So not everybody's got the time that I'm trying to put in. Not everybody's got that time. So don't go in trying to read your Bible through three or four times a year. Try to read a chapter a day. You know, try to read two chapters a day. Even if you get in four or five verses in a day. Man, just start somewhere. Grow in it. I think it's important we emphasize quality and not quantity. In other words, as we read, that we take time and meditate upon what we're reading. And I've told you before, I am ADD bad. To this very day, there's times, depending on the morning and how the previous day went or how my day's going, there's times that I'll read a chapter and I'll get to the end of it and say, I have no idea what I just read. And I go back and reread it. I'll read three or four verses and catch my mind wandering. My mind wanders very, very easy. And so I have to come back to it. I just keep coming back. And at some point, even my mind will begin to focus and go it. So, you know, you just got to keep understanding that if you can get four or five verses meditated upon and really thought through, rather than three chapters that you didn't even think about, it's more important to read a few and get that quality rather than quantity, okay? It's important to have a particular time. Do you have a particular time? Do you have a habit of a particular time? It's important. And then a place where you can get secluded away. And y'all know this. Luke chapter 5 talks about, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus Christ withdrew himself and got alone and to a quiet place. That's why it's important to get up before the kids get up. You know, it's important to get up before and read your Bible while you got some quiet time. Maybe you have to read at night. Read at night before you go to bed and have that time quiet and alone. It should become a special time. Genesis chapter 19 says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord." The place where he stood before the Lord. We come before the Lord and read our Bibles and pray. It becomes a special time. Have a specific time, but also have a place to get away from the kids. And a place to get away from, even if it's your alone time, your spouse. And spend some time with the Lord privately. Go into your prayer closet alone with the Lord. Make it a special place. Very important, and it's very simple. You say, what do I do in that special place? Well, come to the Lord and wait on Him. Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I think it's good that simply come to Him and take a deep breath and take a little time and just, okay, and here we go. Acknowledge who God is and pray. I always begin your devotional time with prayer. I gave you some verses a while ago. Lord, help me to understand what I'm reading. Open my eyes that I may see the wondrous things out of Thy law. Lord, help me to understand what You have for me today. Just take a big, deep breath and relax and pray briefly, asking the Lord to help you as you read. Select a portion of God's Word. I encourage you to read the Bible through, and I meant to grab one of those Bible reading schedules out in the foyer. There's some out there. There's some in the other foyer. It's just from Genesis to Revelation. I believe it's important that you read the Bible from beginning to end rather than pogo sticking around. I think the New Testament writers wrote in light of that you already know your Old Testament. And if you're pogo sticking from Genesis to Matthew and then from Exodus to John, and you know how some of those Bible reading schedules go from, you know, two verses in the Old Testament, one verse in the New Testament. And if that's what you want to do, that's between you and the Lord. I'm just telling you, the Bible was written to be understood from the beginning to the end, not pogo sticking around it. And you say, well, man, what do I do when I get in all those, into those heritages and all those names that I can't pronounce? Very easy. I meant to bring my cell phone too. There is a Bible reading app that you can get for free. You click on it, and it will read it to you. This year, when I read through Leviticus and some of those harder scriptures with all those names in it, I actually had my phone read it to me as I read it. pretty neat. Abraham didn't have that. No, I'm just kidding. Abraham didn't have some of the book. Anyway, but, you know, it's easy to do. It's free. Most of you got a smartphone. You take the Bible reading app, and we can, you know, if you have, email me and I'll get you the name of it. And very, very easy. It'll read it for you. Because some of those names are hard. And I love what Brother Stewart used to say to us in class. He used to say, boys, you know, you complain about all those long words and hard names, but if your name was in the Bible, you'd want it to be read. It's pretty neat. All right, whatever. So you can take in, that app and help you, especially, you know, even if you have trouble with some of the other longer words and so forth, you know, whatever it may be. You can read it through and it'll be a blessing to you. It really will. Read slowly. Take your time. Repeat it if you have to get it. Read aloud. Maybe it'll help you to read out loud. I will tell you, if you're going to memorize Scripture, you can memorize Scripture a lot better reading it out loud. A lot easier reading it out loud. I'm telling you. Say, I've had people say, well, I just can't memorize Scripture. One of the ways you can help yourself is by memorizing it out loud. Especially if you do it in the car, people will look at you like you're losing your mind. But anyway, read it out loud. Read it out loud. Read it systematically. We've already talked about that. Genesis to Revelation. Maybe at night, if you want to read something, you could take a psalm or a proverb and read it. But again, Genesis to Revelation. Remember, meditate upon the Word of God. Memorize special verses. You know, Joshua 1:8, and there's so many verses you could memorize. And you say, well, preacher, I just can't memorize. I tell you, I memorize passages of Scripture on 3x5 cards still to this day. I take and write the verses on the front side, every word of the verse. Let's take John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I write it on the front side. On the back side, I write the first letter of every word. And as I'm memorizing it, I'll read it, turn it over and read it with just the first letters and do all this out loud. And then I read it on the back with just that first letter and then take that away and keep going with it. The key to memorizing Scripture also is to review. So I have kept, and the Lord just allowed me to do this and think about this for 20 years, I've kept every verse I've ever memorized. I have it on a 3x5 card. And I have a stack, you know, a sizable stack. And every once in a while, and I need to do a better job, I go back through and re-memorize the ones I've already memorized. And they're easier to memorize. And that's what I'm doing with Philippians right now. Some of y'all see me quote Philippians. I'm not saying I can quote every chapter, but at one time, had most of it memorized. And so I can go back and re-memorize it and learn it, and it'll be a blessing to you. By word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Bible says there in Psalm 1 that those that, you know, that, and I can't quote it. Somebody give me the first word. Right? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And just simply saying, if you meditate upon the Word of God day and night, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God will bless you for it. He really will. And you will be like a tree planted as you read and memorize Scripture. Delight in the Scriptures, okay? So, reflect on them. Meditate upon the Word of God. Write down. This is something I haven't done a whole lot of, and that I've made a commitment to do it this year, and I haven't quite got it all going yet. But that is to read and write down questions and things that I want to do. The problem with a preacher when you do that is I already stop enough, because I'll find something I like and I want to go study it. And so all of a sudden my Bible reading becomes a study time, and I'm trying not to do it. I'm just trying to read through and enjoy the Word of God and have a devotional time with the Lord. And so, but I would encourage you. You ought to be writing, have a little journal, and maybe this is something I'll promote a little better. I'm trying it this year, and so maybe next year I can help maybe a little better. Having done it myself, I can help you. But it's important that you do, if you have questions or if the Lord speaks to you, write them down. Some of you may already do this. Okay? And then And joy at the end, and joy after you've read your Bible, enjoy some prayer time with the Lord. And by the way, prayer simply means ask. If you pray and you don't ask for nothing, you ain't prayed. So don't ever feel awkward or feel like you're coming to God and He expects it. He expects for you to ask Him something. And so we come to Him, number one, we praise God for who He is. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, Psalm 50, verse 23. We ought to come to Him and praise God for who and what He is. Thank Him. I always come to Him. I sometimes get in the habit of thanking Him for His grace and His mercy. And, you know, and I try not to make that just a habit because that's what I pray. You know, I try to mean it. I don't try. I do mean it. I want to mean it. I don't want it to become just something I say, you know, just a habit. But Lord, I thank You for my family. Start out thanking Him for something and praising Him for something. Don't just rush in there and begin to ask everything you want, right? You got to come in there and praise Him. Man, we've got it so good. We don't need nothing. God's been so good to us. And so we come to Him and praise Him for who He is. Number two, we must repent of our sins. Psalm 32, Proverbs 28. I mean, we can go on and on throughout the Scripture. David wrote it. That God does not hear our prayer if we got sin in our heart. If there's sin in your heart, God says He does not hear your prayer. And so the vaulted ceiling may be vaulted because there's sin in your life. And so we need to come to Him, Lord, confess our sins, and He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins. By the way, it's plural. It means we need to come to Him not... I never pray this way. I never come to God and say, Lord, forgive me my sins, and go on. I never do that. I never do it publicly, and I never do it privately. I come to Him privately and I say to Him, Lord, forgive me for saying that harsh word to Joshua today. Or forgive me for not being kind to my wife today. Forgive me, Lord, for whatever this or whatever that. I come to Him specifically asking Him for specific forgiveness for specific things I've done. Simply coming to God and saying, Lord, forgive me my sins, doesn't forgive You of nothing. The Bible makes it clear as a Christian, you come to Him in plurality. You come to Him specifically with your sins and ask for forgiveness. So that keep that in mind. You say, well, preacher, how am I to remember everything I've done? Then you're supposed to ask Him, Lord, what is it that I've forgotten? And help Him bring those things to mind. By the way, and I said that kind of harshly, can I remind you, it's your motives that matter to God. It's your heart that matters to God. And if you're seeking to be forgiven, He's going to forgive you. By the way, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will utter things that you don't know of. I mean, God, the Holy Spirit will help you with that. It's the heart matter that counts. And I'm being kind of harsh saying, it is this way. I don't mean it's not cut and dry. It is. But the heart matters to God. Come to Him praising for who He is and just thanking for how good He's been to you. And then repent of your sins and then begin to ask. Ask for others and then yourself. Y'all have heard this acrostic before. I've used it many, many times. Ask for others. Pray for others. Think about this Anderson man that fell off the Grand Canyon. Can you imagine how his family feels tonight? Man, to pray for that family and go to God's throne for that family. This little 22-month-old baby in the Oklahoma hospital, Miss Pat's granddaughter. Think about how that family, a young couple, feels. They're saved. They're good Christian people. But I can just imagine how they feel. Praying for Miss Elliott and praying for, you know, ask for others first. You know, begin to just go through your prayer list. And usually there's about, you know, 10 to 20 to 30 on our list that we take up on Wednesday nights. You just pray through that. And then I try to be very faithful in praying through the directory of the church. I just pray through the directory of the church and pray for the membership and our church family and bring those to God. And then begin to ask for yourself. You say, preacher, I'm still going to ask. Yeah, you need to ask Him. Lord, you know, need a new Camaro. No, I'm just kidding. Lord, I have this going on in my life. I have this going on in my life. Lord, direct me, guide me, lead me. Lord, you know, finances are tight and you know, we can't pay the water bill. Of course, go to Him with those things. And He'll answer. And then yield to Him and to His will, understanding that God has a perfect will. I want to be in it. And whatever He decides is the right thing. God always has our best interests in mind. And He always answers prayer, by the way. Yes, no, or maybe. Yes, no, or wait. You know, God is good. Pray. You can write down that acrostic P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, and yield. You ought to write that down somewhere, and just a real simple way to remember how you ought to pray. I hope tonight that you are having a devotional time with the Lord, that you have a personal walk with Him. I'd encourage you as your pastor to do so. It'll be a great blessing to you. I want to encourage those of you who have maybe given up to go at it again. The Bible says, take up thy cross daily and follow me. Daily. Christianity is a daily process, not a weekly, not a monthly. Amen? It's a daily thing. I'm glad I can start over every day. I don't have to wait till January 1st. Start over today and keep at it. Don't give up. You know, good habits are hard to form. It takes, they say it takes 21 days to form a good habit. It takes 21 days to defeat most bad habits. If you can quit smoking for 21 days, the likelihood of you staying with it is very, very high. If you can form and do something, a habit for 21 days, something good, it'll the likelihood of you sticking with it is very high. It doesn't mean you will, but the likelihood is very high. So I encourage you to stick with it. Meet God in early in the morning. Encourage you to read your Bible and pray every day. And what? A little kid's song. And you'll grow, grow, grow. Right? Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 118. I need thee every hour. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for the principles and just these basic truths. I pray that you would help us as Christians, Lord, as your children, to be faithful in having our personal walk with you. Lord, I know your desire is that we fellowship with you. And Lord, that should be our desire as well. I pray for those tonight. All of us could use improvement in this, Lord. There's none of us that are perfect. I pray, God, that you would help us, encourage us, strengthen us as we seek to know you more. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.